It is now time for Ring the Bell Radio, a wrestling podcast. It's the most erotic thing I've ever seen.
Well, hello, all you lovely ladies and peoples. You are listening to Ring the Bell Radio, a wrestling podcast. JD here. Yes, unfortunately, I am all alone with the king. The King Logan, the king of wishful thinking, the king of all wrestling. He's the king of kings, the king of his own little made-up country, who I think he's made a flag for. Because you know what the saying is, no flag, no country. So I give you the one, the only. He's full of Christmas cheer. His Highness, His Excellency, King Logan.
Why, ho, 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 my magnanimous and amazing fans. It is me, the King of the Logan, coming to you on Ring the Bell Radio, a wrestling podcast with me and no DJ Barris tonight.
No, he's gone again. This is twice in a row.
Well,
I didn't get a note from him.
Didn't get one either this week.
I know. Last show you did.
Show nothing.
He left you like a cryptic message last week. So
yeah.
So it looks like the audience is just stuck with us too.
Again. Yeah, just us. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Gotta get a little more bass in there. Just the two of us.
Reminds me of, you know what I watched the other night? Armageddon, because it's an awesome movie.
You like that movie?
Oh, dude, it's like such a popcorn flick.
Yeah.
It don't matter. It's like so super unrealistic or anything. It's just, first of all, I absolutely love Bruce Willis. I think he is, whatever movie Bruce Willis is in, he gives you everything. You know, he never phones in the performance. But he's just great in that movie. But it reminds me of that one bit where Ben Affleck sings "Leaving on a Jet Plane to Live Tyler." Live more, is it Live more? Live Tyler?
I don't know.
It's Steven Tyler's daughter. Gets it. Yeah. And
Clark Duncan.
That's it. A huge black dude. And they're singing "Leaving on a Jet Plane," and he starts his bass tone like.
You know he died, right?
I know, so sad. Yeah. Great actor.
Because there was a while I kept mistaking him for Ving Rhames sometimes. Rhymes.
Yeah.
Like I would know it's Michael Clark Duncan. I'm scared, boss. You know, Green Mile. But I would be thinking of Ving Rhames' name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And vice, yeah. I'd be like, I know that Ving Rhames. No, that's not Ving Rhames. Ving Rhames also played Kojak, but Michael Clark, that's it. How'd we get on? Armageddon? No. Yes. I know you think out of the box. And yes, an asteroid could actually hit the Earth. Okay. But. The movie was okay, and then like the last half an hour, it got overly dramatic.
But I just love it because like everything goes wrong. If it could go wrong, it went wrong. The only time in my life where my brother Paul, doesn't get very excited about a lot of things. And I remember he was watching Armageddon in the front room years ago. I was probably a teenager when it came out. And I came downstairs and I poked in and I was like, oh, dude, Armageddon. He was like, I feel so bad for Bruce Willis. Everything has gone wrong for him. I'm like, yeah, that's the point of the movie. He's like, fuck that.
Oh, boy.
Fun days. Let's talk about some wrestling.
Yeah, anyway. So I know you got some news and I got some news. Yeah, this might be a news show. I don't know.
It could be. We'll just dissect the news each
one. Who's news? Who wants to go first?
Let's you go first.
Okay. Charlotte Flair injury.
Oh God.
Okay. So I gotta read this. Okay. Did you know about this injury?
I did not.
I mean, I know this is gonna be a couple days old now already, but if at the time of this broadcast you didn't know about this Charlotte Flair injury. Okay. Now this is from WrestleTalk.com. You know, an update has emerged on Charlotte Flair following in the announcement that she's expected to be out of action for 9 months.
Wow.
As previously covered, there was some concern surrounding Flair following her bout against Asuka on the December 8th edition of SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
With Flair getting her leg caught in the on the top rope during the bout and was seen limping afterwards. Okay.
I do remember this.
Okay, so I'm trying to see. Oop, I just lost my place. Well, now that I guess some time, you know, a week or so has gone by, and WWE officially announced that Flair's injury, like there was speculation. Oh, man, is she going to be out? Is this whatever, you know? They officially announced that Flair's injury would keep her out on the shelf for at least 9 months, meaning that she'll be out for the rest of 2023 and a big portion of 2024. Okay. Flair is set to undergo surgery within the next few weeks. Of course, she's, you know, has her surgery scheduled on the holiday or around the holidays, which is probably why it hasn't happened yet. But they were thinking, the report noted, that they were thinking Flair's injury was likely worse than just a torn ACL. So they're thinking it was worse than that. Okay. But now our friend David Meltzer was reporting that she has suffered tears to her ACL, MCL, and meniscus.
Oh.
So, yeah, she's going to be out for a little while. And she just came back.
Yeah, she's not been back in 6 months.
She just came back. Yeah. So, I mean, she's been back for a little while. And then, because it's also noted that you would see during this match on December 8th that when she went down, you could see Flair shouting, my knee to the referee, Charles Robinson. And I guess that was Flair letting him know, hey, something's really up, really wrong here. I think I might have done something more than just bumped it, so to speak, you know. And so that was not kayfabe limping away from the ring, that the referee was helping her when the match was over. So yeah, so she was just out for how many months? What, 6 months? Wasn't it a back issue or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's back or shoulder.
Back or shoulder.
Yeah.
So she came back, I forget how many months ago.
Okay, I actually just found this.
You have it.
Okay. Yeah. So let me load it up here on the big screen, so you can see.
You're actually going to show it to me.
Yeah. Easy. Ooh. Tiger.
Buy me a beverage first on there. Speaking of beverage.
So here we go.
Okay, I see it.
Right, so
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Getting up to the top ropes.
Yeah. Okay. Something's about to happen here.
All right. So she, it looks like Asuka's going for a suplex and boom.
Ooh.
fly straight off the side, hits the ropes, flips over. It's bad.
So that's how they darked everything out there.
Darkened it out, so you can't see in the ring. But, you know, these days everyone has night vision on their phone cameras, so, you know. But, yeah, you can see she's in a lot of pain here. Referee's lifting her up. But she can't. It doesn't look like she can put any weight on it whatsoever.
That's horrible.
Yeah. It probably would have been a smarter idea to just slide her over to the ring edge
instead of
picking her up and putting her down again.
More that was probably to see if she could put any weight on it.
Yeah. But yeah, you can see here it's obviously not an angle. It's, you know, real hot dog.
No, she's being more carried. She's walking, but she's not walking on it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, for you guys at home, if you want to see the clip, just type in Charlotte Flair injury. It's the first one that literally comes up. And yeah. You can see her when she bounces off the ropes. It didn't look fun whatsoever. Poor Charlotte.
See, I saw a while ago that, Charlotte Flair injured, but I guess now it's just coming out that they're officially saying, yeah, she's going to be out for like 9 months, you know? So you forget she's not going to be in the Rumble. She's not going to be in Mania. SummerSlam. Maybe. Well, how many months is SummerSlam from now?
It's December. So seven, eight.
Okay.
SummerSlam to August. So 8, 9.
So the fall, she'll be back in the fall. Next fall.
So you got to say, really, the one of the big four that she'd be back would be Survivor Series.
Yeah. So I'm saying fall around. I want to say like late September, October. She's just going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see her emerge again, and then magically she's going to get a title shot and she's going to win.
Good figure.
Because that's what's going to, I'm not saying anything bad, but that's what's going to happen. It's something so good's going to be going on. I'm telling you, it's something so awesome is going to be going on. We're going to like who has the belt, whoever that might be. The storyline's going to be great. And then all of a sudden you're going to hear her music and we're going to go, well, we know who's going to win this match. We know who's going to be the champ now.
I've been surprised this run with her, though. They haven't actually done that. I mean, I could see them wanting to drop the belt from Io Sky back into like one of the higher tier wrestlers, like Charlotte or Bianca or Asuka. But I'm kind of surprised that they've kept the women's title on Io for what it's been nearly a year coming up now.
They need to focus a little more on the world belt too. I mean, that's just for the women's world title. It just seems like it's just there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it has to me, those things have no meaning at this point. The women's world belt has more meaning than the men's one.
Yeah, the problem that you have is Rhea Ripley, you're running into the same problem as Roman Reigns. Is Rhea Ripley super popular right now? So you're not going to move the belt off her. So the belt ends up staying on her.
I just bumped my side of my head into my microphone.
Oh my God.
I was reaching down to get something.
Ow. It's like,
okay, I'm sorry. What?
I don't see anybody right now who would be posed to really be a threat to take the belt off Ripley. I thought they were going to push Baszler to do that. You know, and have it that way. But no, it's just, it seems like it's just sitting on Ripley and it's not going anywhere. You know, and Ripley's had it for a year now. Easy.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. It's been about a year.
Sure?
I'll put it into the Mr. Google bot, but I'm pretty sure. WrestleMania 39, April the 1st.
Yeah, okay. Okay, it's getting close to a year then. You're right. You're right. You don't hear me say that all the time. But you're right, though. Who else right now, other than Ripley, could have that belt?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, like, I really, really wanted them to do like a push with Raquel Rodriguez, give her a chance to maybe even play a heel character, you know, have her, and I've said this several times on the show, have her how she was in NXT, which was basically the female Brock Lesnar. I think yeah. If she would have been like one day, just, you know, I'm going to revert back to this and go kick Rhea Ripley's ass, because that's the problem is, when they say Rhea's the most dominating woman, that's she is. You know, she has high, hard-hitting moves, very technical in the ring, really good entertainer. And it's like these women, especially the Raw women, are getting a real, ironically, Raw deal with it, because none of them have been bigged up at all like that. You know,
yeah.
And it sucks because Raquel Rodriguez is a great wrestler and a great entertainer, but I don't think the goody two-shoes, you know, angle, babyface angle works for her too well. You know, be a heel, man. You know, be Brock Lesnar, female version. And then I think female we would Brock see Lesnar. Some, yeah, I think we'd see some good matches, but. That's a shame that she got hurt that bad.
I didn't
realize how bad she got hurt.
Yeah, torn meniscus, ACL, MCL. Yeah, you're going to be out for a little while. That's not a couple of weeks. 8 weeks, you're back. You're out for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we'll see when she's going to come back. So scratch her off a list of who do you think's going to win the Rumble.
Yep.
Eliminate that one. So scratch that off the list here.
But you know, that might work out. It might give an opportunity for one of the other women to start, you know, a climb, you know, start shining out from the rest of them. You know, hopefully it's not just Bianca Belair or, you know, Becky Lynch, you know, because that just seems to rotate the belt between them three. You know, yeah. give me someone else. I mean, Io Sky, I was surprised that she's kept it this long. But it seems to work, but it's just not a big, it's not a big push for a character. You know, it's like, I always say this as well, like Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan is a great wrestler, great entertainer, great athlete, just does not pose any threat in the ring.
No,
could Liv Morgan against Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's going to win. Storyline version and just the real life version. You know, it's the same thing that happened with Ronda Rousey and Liv Morgan. Is the only way they could realistically, you know, do that win was for her to, you know, put the shoulders down while she was getting the armbar. That's the only way that she could really do it, because realistically, who you gonna believe is gonna win in a fight? Liv Morgan or Ronda Rousey? You know, it sucks. It's just, there's some people that just, and it's not that they're smaller wrestlers. It's not at all, because like you put the same thing with like you know, Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio can hold a title and make the title shine. You know, yes. Even against bigger, badder opponents, he's still. He still has that charisma, that edge to him, that, you know, will allow him to do that. It's just that, you know, Liv doesn't feel like a threat, you know, and Io just doesn't feel like a threat. It's like she could lose the match on a SmackDown or something and lose the belt that way, and nobody would really bat an eye. You know, it sucks. I've been saying, the women's division, I still think is some of the best wrestlers in the WWE, but the women's division is an absolute mess right now.
It is. It's chaos.
Yeah. And especially when you lose people like Charlotte Flair, you know, it just takes away the star power. And now you're left with Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair. Lilo,
yeah. Big time Bex, the man, or whatever she calls herself now. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, they need to do some restructuring there, I guess.
Yeah.
Or get some new talent or whatever. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. As you said, maybe this is a chance for someone else to step forward now that Flair's out of the ranks. And we'll see what happens. So on to what you wanted to tell us.
I want to talk about good old, ironically, Liv Morgan.
Ooh, yes.
Yes. So this last week, Liv Morgan was arrested in Florida for possession of marijuana. Okay. So I'm into that. Let's get the basics down. Okay. So she was arrested in Florida for possession of marijuana, but it was no more than 20 grams, and a vape pen that apparently had marijuana in it. So the reason she was pulled over was apparently she was swerving in and out of the middle line of the road in a
Jeep. Yes, she. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so let me roll some honesty down, some you know, behind the kayfabe for the audience. I am a proponent of marijuana. I have a patient registration card here in Pennsylvania, and I use it. I use it because I was an addict of pain medication. My doctor put me on pain medication many years ago, and I got addicted to it. And it took a long time to be able to get off that stuff.
Wean off of it.
Yeah. You know, and I couldn't have done it without the support of like my wife and my family. You know, they're kick-ass. But it got bad. It got really bad for me. And you know, I'm eating these pills like they're Tic Tacs, you know. And it was a bad time in my life, and it sucked. So when I finally got off all of this stuff, and my doctor and I were doing other options for my pain management, we tried a lot of other stuff, shots, things like that, and nothing really worked. And then eventually he was like, look, why don't you try this? Why don't you try marijuana? And back then I was very much like, nah, that's just what stoner kids do.
Right? It's still kind of taboo.
Yeah, I don't do that. And you know, his words to me were, you know, if it don't work, it don't work. What have you lost? You know, we're at the end of the line here. There's not really anything else we can do without putting you back on narcotics. And I did not want to be back on narcotics. I didn't want to go through that hell again. I didn't want to put my family through that hell again. Because it changes you. It does. It changes you and how you view the world and people. And it's not a fun thing. It really isn't. So I tried it, and lo and behold, long story short, it worked for me. Now, I don't smoke tons of it where, you know, I could barely stand up or anything like that. I smoke enough to manage my pain, and that's pretty much it. Maybe 4 or 5 puffs a night, and that's all I do. So I'm a proponent of it. Like, if you want to smoke the weed, the MJ, you know, the ganja,
the dope, the weed.
If you want to smoke those things, yeah, I mean, if you're doing it in the privacy of your own home, you know, boom, boom, boom. Like I say to people, I smoke regular tobacco, you know, and I try and be respectful of it. If I'm around someone's house, I generally will ask if I can smoke in the house. If they're like, no, smoke outside, I'll happily go outside. You know, I view it the same way as, you know, weed, basically, is if you're going to do it in someone's house, great. If not, go outside. But it's a bit more taboo with it because people smell it and they get weirded out and so on and so forth. So I tend not to do it around people's homes or on the street. Now, the one thing I will say straight here, okay, my eldest brother, William, died in a car crash because the other person was doing 90 down the road and was drunk as a skunk. Hit the middle barrier, flipped his car, killed my brother. So one of my biggest things is if you are getting behind the wheel of a potential ton and a half of metal that can do 100 miles per hour, you best be in all your senses. You know, yes. if you're feeling buzzed from too much alcohol, don't get in the car. If you've smoked weed, don't get in the car. You know, if you've done some other sort of drug that it makes you anywhere near impaired, don't get in a car. It's that simple. And here's my thing with Liv is, Liv, I love you. You're great. I don't care if you're doing weed. What I do care about is that you got behind the wheel of your vehicle while you were stoned.
Was she stoned, though?
Well, they're saying that she was impaired.
Yeah.
So, you know, that basically means that you're not 100%. Now, you're whether under the
influence.
Yeah. Now, whether it was she smoked a puff and then drove, whatever, but there's no, any is too much is what I say. Any is too much, you know, and there's no excuse for it because you know what? You could get an Uber. I'm sure you could get someone else to drive you somewhere. There are a myriad of ways that you could have got to point A to point B, you know, and not, you know, be in that kind of situation. But it just, yeah, I'm all for you doing it at home. I'm all for you using it to help you heal, take away your pain. I'm all for that kind of stuff. But just don't get behind the vehicle when you're doing it. You know, a famous YouTuber says, you know, don't be stupid, you know?
Don't be stupid, yeah. Yeah,
Philip DeFranco there for you. But, yeah, just, it annoys me to say that. But
I think she also got suspended from WWF because that'll fall under the wellness policy.
Well, here's the thing is, according to a lot of news outlets that I read, even though weed is on the policy, they don't test for it anymore. And it's not a bannable offense. It's just a $2,500 fine. That's it.
$2,500 fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So from what I understand with a lot of these guys reporting on it is that pretty much everyone's like, look, everyone in the locker room still loves her. You know, she'll come back. We'll joke about it. She'll joke about it. And then that'll be, it'll be forgotten.
Well, isn't she suspended too?
No, right? She's not suspended.
She got suspended.
Nope. Not suspended. She's got a hearing now in February for the charges, but they'll most likely just drop those.
I mean, they're not gonna send her to jail for that.
No, what they'll probably do is they'll knock a good few points off her license.
Points, or they'll say, you know what, you got 20 hours community service to do. You gotta come and paint the jail walls. Or something
like that, yeah.
You know, or I give you a $100,000 fine, even though it wouldn't be that much, $100,000 fine, or whatnot, you know. So it'll be something, but yeah, I mean,
I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed, not in the weed. I'm disappointed she got in the car.
How do you know she didn't like sneeze and that caused her to swerve?
Well, according to...
Okay, honestly, I've done that before. I'm driving down the roads. I go to sneeze. I'm on... Now, people who are from the area will know this. Logan, I'm on 993. And all of a sudden, I'm driving. Achoo! And whoa! Okay. You know, you kind of... Whoops. And luckily there was not another car coming, you know, but I would even tell myself, oh geez, if there was a cop behind me, he'd be lighting me up right now asking, what are you doing? And I'd be like, I just sneezed. You'd be able to see it, you know, but
I've been there as well. Like, I remember this one time that was one of the only car accidents I've really had in my life was I plowed into the back of this lady's car. And it was because I was just coming off having pneumonia, and I started coughing. By the time I stopped coughing and looked up, there was a car stopped in front of me, and I hit the back of it. Fortunately, no one was hurt whatsoever. So I get that, but from what I understand, is the cop who was following her didn't just see her go over into the center line and was like woo woo woo. He followed her.
Following her for a while. And
noticed it happened several times after that. So, you know, I don't think there's really any way out of that. You know, I mean, you're kind of stuck with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, like I said, I'm just disappointed. You know, I'm not disappointed in the weed. I think this is a natural thing that you can have these days. I'm disappointed that she got behind the car impaired like that, you know, because people lose loved ones. People lose their lives in situations like that. So, you know, just don't be stupid. Come on, Liv.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's like the big Liv thing that I wanted to talk about. The other thing I wanted to skim over is a couple of people that we haven't seen recently.
Who? Tell me.
Dexter Lumis.
That's right. You mean? Remember do that look? He kind of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haven't seen him since May, and Omos. So this news article here from Wrestling Headlines says Omos has been talked about behind the scenes in WWE as someone the company can use as a special attraction type of role. Outside of work in SummerSlam, Omos has been mostly a ghost. Well, I mean, it's true because that's...
He's an attraction because of his size and what he can do.
Yeah. And you know, you've got... It's so hard to... You know, find a place for big guys. You know, like obviously, because I have to mention it once per show, The Undertaker.
You know, come on.
Eventually, he became a WrestleMania staple. You know, you'd watch Mania and you would guarantee the Taker match. Yeah, and that worked for him. Maybe turn up one or twice times a year.
Well, there was other reasons for that too, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had a lot of injuries and so on and so forth, but still it worked. If you used Taker like he was used in, say, the early 90s or the early 2000s, you know, you wear out the mystique too quick.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like the same thing with Omos is he's one of those people that you don't want him to be there all the time because you want to be able to say 8 months later, see Omos get in the ring and be like, I forgot how big.
What are you going to do with
dude him? Is. Yeah. I mean, it's
like Andre after a while, what are you going to do with him?
Yeah. I mean, it sucks, but I mean, what else can you do with Omos? Because, like, realistically, you can't give him a belt.
No, you can't.
You can't give him a belt.
Because it'll be one of those who can beat him.
Yeah.
Same thing, again, Andre. Well, you couldn't give Andre the belt because who could beat him? You know, not everyone looked like Hulk Hogan then.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously we've seen Amos, whatever his name, Omos. Is it, how do you properly say his name? Wow. So I have to say his name is Omos. That's how you properly say it. Ladies and gentlemen, see, audience. You ask a question to the king, and you get an answer like that. You know, I mean, what? All I did was, wow. Okay, so let's try this again. How do you properly say his name?
Omos.
Omos. Omos.
Yeah.
Omos. Okay, so I was going somewhere with that. Now I totally forgot. Okay, no. So I said, Andre the Giant, not everyone looked like Hulk Hogan then that could beat him. So you put Omos with him. Who's everyone's a mismatch.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, the
same thing with Khali. Yeah, they put the belt on a great Khali, but everything was a mismatch there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like Brock Lesnar beat him once. But then again, you expect Brock Lesnar to win all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not really a thing, but it's like put Omos against Cody Rhodes.
Looks you like somehow, a David and Goliath thing.
Yeah, yeah, you somehow have to work out a story in the ring that's going to work for both of them.
See, and you really got to figure that out. Now I'm going back to Andre again. Andre was a good guy for so long. Hulk Hogan's there. Those two were friends. This was an easy story to set up with them. One, because they were friends and you had one friend turned against the other one, right?
Yep.
Two, Andre was the eighth wonder of the world. His size. Everyone secretly would think, whoa, Hogan versus Andre. That's a David and Goliath thing. You have Hulk Hogan. Who's Hulk Hogan? Who's bigger than Hulk Hogan? Andre the Giant. Could he beat him? Could he do him? What kind of match would they have? So that was relatively easy to do. This you would actually have to put, I'm not saying that wasn't put thought into. This one you'd really have to put some thought into, like Cody Rhodes and an Omos.
Yeah.
Okay, why? Why are they feuding each other? What made them hate each other? And then you can't just hurry up and do this in a 3 week. Because remember for years it was, since there was every pay-per-view once a month, you would have 3 week storylines and then they would fight and then it was done. They would start feuding with, they can't rush it. I do like, that's what WWF's starting to do now with some of the things that they're expanding, they're elongating.
Well, you're
taking their time.
You want to keep the people tuning back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I see it as working with Omos in the ring, it is hard, especially for a smaller guy as well. Yeah. I mean, AJ Styles did an okay job with him, but it's AJ carried that match. Wholeheartedly, AJ carried the match. Now, so, I mean, Omos versus, and of course, when he tag teamed with AJ Styles, he was very new to the wrestling. Not new to the wrestling. He'd been in development, but obviously he was new to that scene. And AJ carried most of those matches himself. And then look at Omos versus Brock Lesnar. I mean, it was, they played that Goliath, you know, and David thing to death, even with those two. It was like, you know, Brock Lesnar's super powerful, but yet Omos held his own against him in strength. You know, the end, I mean, hell, you'll give Brock Lesnar respect for putting like a 450-pound man into an F5.
Oh, yeah.
That takes a lot of strength. But how would you play it off with someone like Cody? There's nothing Cody could do, like, straight damage wise that could, you know, really rock Omos. Like, you'd have to do like, and I mean, even connecting like a Cody Cutter on him would be bloody hard.
Yeah, see, and that's the other thing is, what could you do?
Yeah, like he would almost.
You're limited to what you can do.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just think it would be, and plus Omos really, A, doesn't really have that charisma. You know, B, he doesn't really have good mic skills. You know, it's a shame because they could have really worked him up to be like the big bad.
Yeah. You know,
something like that. You know, and then had like a triple threat or something at the end of the storyline, had those two work to beat the shit out of him.
They got to make a league, the show on the network, where it's nothing but really, really big men.
It's cool.
The Lumberjack Channel.
Yeah, the Lumberjack Channel.
Where you have guys like Omos and Kali, where it's just for them.
And all they do is grapple with each other.
They grapple wrestle.
Yeah, and then we overplay like sounds from Godzilla on top of it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I love the Godzilla roar. I don't care. That is the greatest roar.
That kind of high-pitched noise.
You know what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Goes that. Yeah. But no. The Godzilla roar, it's that, you know what it is. It is the coolest roar of anything. It's that, I don't know. I can't replicate it. Are you looking for it now?
Of course I am.
Oh, you got to play it. Then I want to play something before we're done here because it's Christmas time. We're going to watch along with something here.
Right, this is called The Ultimate Godzilla Roar.
Yes. Yes. Let's hear it. Oh, no. Here we go. The Ultimate.
See, I like the whatchamacallit, the old Godzilla.
The old one. That's what I'm talking about. It has that, you know which one I'm talking about. Yeah.
We'll set this one. I think it's this one. No.
That's close. That's close. In the ballpark. That's in the ballpark. Yeah. I will say that's what the Japanese have been doing, man. They have all these, they know how to make a horror movie or a monster movie.
Oh, yeah, they do.
That sounded terrible. Yeah, there's actually one here that says,
this one is literally the top five Godzilla roars.
Let me get the Godzilla. Okay. Yeah.
I like number three the best.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to the old school Godzillas, that's the roar. It has that twang to it.
Yeah, he's the Hanna-Barbera one.
Did you know that the roar of the Hanna-Barbera Godzilla was provided by Ted Cassidy of Addams Family fame? But did you also know that the roar can actually be heard in a popular anime TV series? In episode 164 of Fairy Tail, the character Yukino Aguria summons forth the celestial spirit known as Pisces to go into battle. If you listen closely to the spirit's roar, you can hear it sound strikingly similar to Godzilla's roar from the 70s cartoon show.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you showing me now?
Jeez. All kind of stuff.
Anyway.
All kinds of fun gear.
Wait a minute. What was that? What was that? What was that? Scroll down there. I'm looking at your computer screen there that you have up here. Evolution of Godzilla's Roar.
Okay.
Ladies and audience, we know this isn't wrestling related, but we'll get back into wrestling in a minute here. Okay. We're talking about Godzilla. It's cool.
1954 Godzilla.
That's one of them.
1955. That's it, right there.
That's it. 1962. That's the Godzilla Roar we're talking about.
Play that one again.
Play it again. Yes.
Yep, 64.
64. Okay, 65. 60s then.
I like 968 there.
So basically, it was all the 60s. They made a Godzilla every year, huh?
Oh yeah, man. There's like 20 Godzilla movies.
Oh, I know. It was like a cult classic. It's like a culture over there.
Mecha Godzilla, yeah. That's a good one, 75.
Yeah, 75. So it looks like
84 is a bit too low.
60s and 70s were good.
Yeah.
They changed it.
That was the 90s.
Okay, 92 was good.
'93's all right. And what's his background music?
I don't know. We got to be getting close to the American Godzilla here in a minute.
That's the American one there.
Yeah. This was the comeback.
This is back in Japan.
There was still guys in rubber suits.
Mecha again, 2003.
Wow.
Right, that's the new American. 2014.
2016. All right.
That's the other American one.
Because now I know they got Godzilla Minus One and all that. But that they, new they series that started.
They missed,
yeah.
Godzilla. They missed Godzilla versus Kong. That was,
but you know what, though?
Before, that was 2021, I think.
Before I get into the next wrestling thing here, you've seen the first ever Godzilla back in the 50s. From
yeah.
The 50s with Perry Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me that movie still couldn't hold its own. No. Seriously, it was black and white. It was dark, smoky, and just the aura of the film gave you something to where, yes, you look at it and you could tell oh, that was a little set. That's the guy. But I'm talking this the whole way the film was made. Tell me that couldn't still hold its own right now.
Definitely. I mean, I grew up as a lifelong fan of Power Rangers. You know, so.
So some of them Godzillas got pretty. Don't get me wrong here. Some of them got pretty hokey.
Oh, yeah.
As in, some of them were bad just because they were making Godzillas just to make them. But anyway. Well, that's another discussion for another day. We'll keep going.
That seems like an episode, a podcast about nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Coming soon. So, before we get going here, since it is Christmas time, King, there's a quick match of we're going to watch Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Santa Claus. Not Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
X-A-N-T-A. Like, oh, Xerox Santa.
This has got to be a WCW thing.
No, it's WWF.
No way.
It is. It is. Uh-oh. I didn't share the right one. Hold on. Anyway, no. It is WWF. I went to share on our monitor here in the room, and I didn't push. Also, I didn't allow the audio, so. We're going to hear a little bit of the audio. Okay, here we go. You seeing it?
Yes.
You see it there? Okay, here we go.
Happy holidays, indeed. However, here comes, ladies and gentlemen, the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. And here comes, take a look if you would. The South Pole. Santa Claus. Can you believe this? Santa Claus.
Does everyone really have a price for the million-dollar man?
From the South Pole.
Well, I can assure you that was not the real Santa Claus who sold out to Ted DiBiase. He's not even from the North Pole. Take a look at this man. What do you know, Jim? And apparently is a very unethical individual. That right. We spoke to Ted.
An unethical individual.
Santa Claus, and also about something else he has in store for us.
Is it like my Santa Claus? Just a small gift from the million-dollar corporation, you nickel and dimers out there. But the big surprise is coming. Yes, I've been searching high and low for my million-dollar champion. A man who best exemplifies what a million-dollar champion should be. Who can live up to the high standards of the million-dollar man. And when I find him...
Well, he has an awful lot to laugh about these days. Ted DiBiase, ladies and gentlemen. And, who would be worthy of being the million-dollar champion?
So Santa Claus
you mean to tell me
is wearing snow boots that are black.
Tell us something.
Black pants with a red shirt with black suspenders instead of a white beard. He has a black beard. He's from
the South. He's probably the kind of guy that would take. Gifts away as opposed to giving them. Certainly has put a damper on, let's say, Savio Vega's Christmas plans, one would think.
Yes.
I'm not. So far, he's hit tossed in. He's gained a couple of kicks. And he gave him a Boston Crab.
He gave him a camel clutch. Or Kobe, no. Boston Crab, you're right.
No, Boston Crab's the other way. It's a camel clutch.
No, yeah, yeah. What did he give him? Camel clutch, yeah. So that was, for all you, since it's Christmas time, that was Santa Claus, a part of
Million Dollar Corporation.
I had something that kept playing, and I thought you were playing it.
Yeah.
It's part of the Million Dollar Corporation. So what did you think of Santa Claus, real quick?
I was unimpressed. and I was unimpressed by the wrestling skills Vince McMahon tried to sell me in that commentating.
Did you know who Santa Claus was?
Oh, God, who is it?
I'm going to tell you in a minute. But as I described to the audience already, Santa Claus came out wearing a black robe that said Santa Claus on it. Black robe with red fringe, black pants, black boots, red shirt, black suspenders, black hair, black beard. Totally opposite of Santa Claus. So he's Santa Claus, the anti-Santa Claus. From the South Pole, sold out to the Million Dollar Man and his corporation.
Now, I would pay to see Santa Claus versus Santa Claus.
I'm not so sure that didn't happen.
We'll have to
research that one.
To research it up. It sounds like a WWE fight.
But who do you think, before I tell you the name, who do you think Santa Claus was? Do you think you've ever seen that gentleman before?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No idea.
Balls Mahoney.
No way.
That was Balls Mahoney.
Really?
It was. It's crazy. Didn't have the long hair. And he didn't have the long hair.
Yo, it's surprising what long hair makes of someone.
Yeah, that was Balls Mahoney.
He
passed away too. I think him and Axel Rotten are both gone. Wow. But anyway, yeah. So next week or the next episode.
2016.
He passed.
Okay. Yeah, 2016.
So, ladies and gentlemen, audience, when you hear this, we would like to say happy holidays. Have a nice Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This will be our last show for the year. We'll be seeing you, sometime after the new year?
Mm-hmm.
And as always, you know, if you want to hear our shows again, ringthebellradio.com, go there, click the big red button. It says listen to the podcast. You'll see our whole library of shows. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcast, or your favorite podcasting platform. Send Logan your love mail. ringthebellradio@gmail.com. He loves reading love mail. He will stay up all night and answer your letters. No, nothing.
I was thinking about we should put in the George Michael music there. You know, da-da-da-da. So up all night reading love mail.
We don't have to now. You just sang it.
There you go. That's
there. You go. There you go.
That's the new soundbite.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully, the DJ,
the rabid DJ,
the rabid DJ. We will find out where he has been before we come back after the new year. But like we said. Have a happy holiday. Great new year. King, anything you want to say?
Yeah, I have a proper crimbo, mate.
Yeah. So everybody, we'll see you in 2024. So long.